Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 9. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech the priest, "The king charged me with a certain matter and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. As for my men, I've told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find.' But the priest answered David, 'I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women.' David replied, 'Indeed, women have been kept from us, as usual, whenever I set out. The men's things are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?' So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's head shepherd. David asked Ahimelech, 'Don't you have a spear or a sword here?' 'I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's business was urgent.' The priest replied, 'The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one.' David said, 'There is none like it. Give it to me.'" Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 21. In our biblical passage this morning, David continues his run from King Saul. David finds himself in our text hungry. He finds himself without a sword. And he comes to Ahimelech the priest and he asks him for these things. And Ahimelech the priest helps him. But is that really this morning all that this story is about? David is hungry. David doesn't have a sword. And Ahimelech helps him. Is that all that is going on in this text? Or is that simply one part of the story? Well, if all that was going on is that David is hungry and David doesn't have a sword, why then the severe punishment for Ahimelech in the next chapter? In the next chapter, chapter 22, verse 11, King Saul confronts Ahimelech. He asks Ahimelech why he gave to David the sword and the food. And Ahimelech answers, verse 14, "Who of all your servants is as loyal to David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household? Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair." The king answers, "You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your father's whole family." And the next thing the king does is gives the order to completely destroy Ahimelech and his entire family. Why such a severe punishment? Why does Saul order the same punishment for Ahimelech that God ordered to the citizens of Jericho, destroying their whole families and their whole lines? Why the same order given that Saul was supposed to do to King Agag in chapter 15? Why the execution of the most severest punishment and judgment only because of bread and a sword? It's not like Ahimelech equipped David's entire army. It's not like he took all the men that were with David or will go with David at some point, and he equipped them with weapons and swords and said to David, "David, here you go. Go and fight King Saul." He gives him some bread and a sword. Well, to answer that question, we have to think back to the storyline and previous chapters in the story. In chapter 19, Saul is trying to kill David. Saul even sends men to David's house and is wanting those men to drag David in his bed to Saul so Saul can kill him. David runs, and the person he runs to is the prophet Samuel. And at the end of the chapter, Saul follows him all the way to Samuel. And David wants to find out from Samuel the prophet, "Am I the one that you anointed king?" And Samuel reaffirms it. And the Lord protects David. And Saul is the one who prophesies. In chapter 20, David goes to Jonathan, the heir to the throne. And in verse 1 he asks, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he's trying to take away my life?" Jonathan doesn't believe it. But when Saul tries to kill Jonathan with his spear, just as he tried to kill David, at the end of the chapter, Jonathan believes it. And Jonathan, heir to the throne, the next king of Israel, hands the weapons of the king to David. And David is reaffirmed by the royal prince that he will be the next king. So David has been confirmed by the prophet Samuel. David has been confirmed by the king's son, Jonathan. And now in chapter 21, David goes to the priest. And as David goes to the priest, we must look and seek to understand the meaning behind this bread, the meaning behind the sword that Ahimelech gives to David. Because what's happening in this story is more than just 5 loaves of bread and a sword. What is going on in this story is what happened in chapter 19 and chapter 20, this time by the priest. The priest is confirming for David that David will be the next king of Israel. Well, how do we know this? Well, first of all, look carefully at the beginning of verse 1. David goes to Nob. And Nob is Benjamite territory. Saul, king of Benjamin, Saul and his brothers, his brothers from Benjamin, David goes to Nob. And while at Nob, he meets Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech, upon seeing David, trembles, we're told. He trembles when he meets David. In fact, there's even trembling in his voice. "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David is the general of the king's army. David is the one who went out through the land and conquered the enemies of Israel. And David shows up on Ahimelech's doorstep alone. Ahimelech knows what's going on. He knows that Saul is trying to kill David and David is running from Saul. He knows this. That's why he's trembling. That's why he's asking David these questions, because he fears the very thing that David is doing. David is running from Saul. In fact, as the text is laid out and we look at the language that is being used here and the words that the author gives us, you notice at the beginning of the passage, Ahimelech the priest is the one who is doing all the listening. He is the one who is trembling, and David is the one saying everything. Verses 2 and 3. But by the end of the passage, Ahimelech, verse 9, does most of the talking, and David does most of the listening. As the story begins, Ahimelech is trembling and afraid. As David talks to him, his fears are being calmed. And by the end of the story, he is the one actively helping David. David answers the priest, verse 2. The king charged me with a certain matter and said to me, "No one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find." David seeks to calm Ahimelech's fears. David seems to calm Ahimelech by asking for a simple request, some bread, some food that he can eat. Now, Nob was a city. There's other places that David could have gone, but he goes to the priest because he needs to know something from the priest, and he seeks bread from the priest. Verse 4, the priest answers David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." David replies, "Indeed, women have been kept from us as usual whenever I set out. The men's things are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?" So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Ahimelech responds that the bread is consecrated. The bread is holy bread. And we read there in verse 6 that specifically this is the bread of the presence. The bread of the presence was placed on the table of showbread in the holy place. In the tabernacle, they had the most holy place where the ark and God's presence was, and only the high priest could go. But they also had the holy place. And in the holy place, there were 12 loaves of bread set upon the table of showbread. And the bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And the bread represented God's presence with the people, that the people are so close to their God that they have communion with their God as they sit down and the priests eat the bread from the table of showbread. But only the priests were allowed to eat this bread. Only the priests were the consecrated ones to eat the bread of the presence that sat and that was put on the table before the Lord. But now Ahimelech gives the bread of the presence, the bread of God's presence, the day-old bread, which no one was to eat but the priests. And he gives that bread to David. Now before you think, what's the big deal here? You have to go back to chapter 10. You see, in chapter 10, King Saul is anointed king. And as King Saul has been anointed by Samuel gives King Saul 3 signs, 3 signs from the Lord that he will be king of Israel, even though Saul doesn't believe it. And in chapter 10, verse 3, one of the signs is told this way: "You will go up from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor." Samuel is talking to Saul. 3 men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying 3 young goats, another 3 loaves of bread, another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you 2 loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. Bethel was the place of worship. The men that Saul meets are men going up to worship God. And now these men who are carrying 3 loaves of bread give 2 loaves to King Saul as a sign that he will be king. Well, now as David goes to the priest, to the place where people worship God, and he seeks to know from the priest, has God really appointed me king? If God has appointed me king, why is Saul trying to kill me? Why is he trying to destroy me? Why do I have to run for my life? Give me some kind of sign to know that I am going to be king. And so the priest gives him the bread of the presence, the bread which represents the presence of God with his people in the holy place, the consecrated bread, given only to consecrated people. And now the priest gives that consecrated bread of God's presence to David, for David to eat. Now the irony of our passage is in verse 7. Because there we see Saul's servant, we're told, and he was detained before the Lord, and he was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's head shepherd. An Edomite was supposed to be from a nation that Saul had destroyed. The Edomites, we're told in chapter 14, were enemies of Israel, and Saul fought them all the years of his life. But now Saul has taken this Edomite, and he's made him his servant, and we're told his head shepherd. Who's the true shepherd of Israel? It's David. David, the man after God's own heart. The man who is consecrated enough that the priest gives him the bread from the table of showbread. And there, standing there, is an unclean man, Doeg the Edomite, who's described as Saul's head shepherd. Doeg will come back into the story in chapter 22 as we read on. But for now, keep in mind that this Edomite is seated there with David, with the priest. Those are the men who are clean, and Doeg the Edomite is unclean, yet Saul has made him his head shepherd, while Saul seeks to kill the true shepherd. Well, our story goes on because David has another request. David asks Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or a sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's business was urgent." And the priest replies, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Now, the version I'm reading from, the NIV, does not reflect the text as well as I would like. But there is a connection through the priest's final words and David's final words. David says, "There is none like it. Give it to me." And the words of the text, the last words of the priest, are the same. "There is no sword like it but that one." This is a special sword. Does that mean that this sword, which was once Goliath's sword, has some kind of extra power to it because it was the sword of mighty Goliath? Is this like the Lord of the ring for David, that if he has this sword, he will be almighty and powerful, and no one will be able to stop him? Is that why Saul kills him? These priests? No. There's nothing magic in the sword. There's nothing powerful in the sword. In fact, the sword is so large, we don't even know if David was ever able to use it. After this story, we never hear of the sword of Goliath again. There's something else that is important concerning this sword when the priest gives it to him. The priest tells David, "This is the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah." The sword is the trophy of Israel. It is the trophy to God's victory over the Philistines. David accomplished it for King Saul, and it's been put in the presence of the Lord at Nob, where the priests are. But now that sword doesn't belong to Saul. Saul, the king of Israel, did not earn that sword. And the priest tells David, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah." That sword is the symbol of victory, of God's power and victory over the Philistines. And that victory over the Philistines will not take place through King Saul. David is the king who will conquer the Philistines and give victory to Israel. And Ahimelech the priest gives David the sword. There's no one like it. It's his trophy. It's his victory to win. David leaves the presence of Ahimelech having been given two things: the bread of God's presence, the bread of God's mercy going with him, and the sword of Goliath, the sword of victory over the Philistines that David will accomplish and bring, and not Saul. David goes to Samuel the prophet, and the prophet confirms for him that he's king. David goes to the prince Jonathan, son of Saul, and the prince confirms that David will be king. David goes to the priest in 1 Samuel 21, and the priest confirms that David will be king. Yes, David is hungry. Yes, David needs a sword. But there's much more to this story than those simple things. Ahimelech is confirming for David that Saul will be king. That David will be king. And when Saul confronts him on it, he acts like he doesn't know. And his punishment is death. But notice as the story ends, David leaves Ahimelech alone. David goes to Samuel, and he leaves the presence of Samuel alone. David goes to the king's son Jonathan, and he leaves Jonathan alone. David goes to Ahimelech, and he leaves Ahimelech alone. David is left alone in the story with nothing less than God's mercy. You see, our Savior in Matthew chapter 12 picks up on this very story when they accuse his disciples of eating on the Sabbath. Jesus' disciples in Matthew chapter 12 are hungry on the Sabbath. And so they begin to pick some heads of grain and they eat them. And when the Pharisees see this, they said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." And Jesus answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent. I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. When David went to Ahimelech the priest, he received God's mercy. God granted him mercy, the mercy of food, the mercy of the bread, the mercy of the sword. And David leaves the presence of God with nothing else but God's very mercy, which has been granted to him without anyone with him but God. Samuel's not there. Jonathan's not there. Ahimelech is not there. It's David and the Lord. What about God's mercy? Is God's mercy going to be enough for David? God's mercy was enough for the one greater than David. When Jesus came to this earth as the Son of David, he too was left alone. He too was abandoned by his disciples. He too was left with nothing left but else but the mercy of God. He too was not received by a priest, but rejected by the high priest and condemned as guilty and worthy of death. And as he hung on that cross, he hung on the cross alone. But our high priest, our Son of David, our Savior Jesus Christ, won a victory so that we too can receive the mercy of God from our high priest. David received the bread of God's presence. David received the comfort of knowing that God was with him and that God had provided food for him through the priest, through his mercy, through his grace. Our high priest has provided us God's mercy, God's bread. Jesus said, "Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Do you find yourself alone? Do you sometimes feel it's just you and God? God has given his mercy. He has granted you the bread of his presence. His word, which he gives to us in the very scriptures that you have in your hands. This is the bread of life. This is the bread that sustains you and assures you that God is with you, that Jesus is alive, and that his presence goes with you wherever you go. And Jesus has provided you with a sword. In Hebrews chapter 4, we are told that the word of God is like a double-edged sword. That sword penetrates to the heart, through the soul, through the joints, through the bone marrow. A sword sharper than any sword or any power that you could ever know in this world. Like a sword that there is none like it. Like what the priest said to David. That word of God is your sword. And as the sword of Goliath stood for the victory of God over the enemies that God had given his people, so the word of God testifies to the message of the gospel, the message of the power of Jesus Christ risen from the grave. The message of his death and resurrection, which will protect you and save you from all harm, from anything that could ever happen to you in this world or in the next. as David leaves Ahimelech at Nob. God's mercy and grace has been granted to him. As you, in your relationship with Jesus Christ, live each day, God's grace and mercy has been granted to you. You have been given the bread of life. You have been given the power of the sword. Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. You don't leave here alone. You leave here in the presence of God, who will sustain you, who will guide you, who will lead you to accomplish his will in this world until he takes you home someday in the next. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word as it speaks to us in 1 Samuel 21. We're thankful, Lord, that as we reflect on this passage, we see the glorious comfort and strength that you gave to your servant David. And Lord, as we see David leaving the presence of the priests, we also see the mercy and grace that you have granted us. We are thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the great high priest, who has come and even granted us greater than what David received. For we will never hunger and we will never thirst in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have the bread of life, which will sustain us and give us nourishment and strength all of our lives. In Jesus Christ, we have the Word that became flesh. We have the power of the gospel, which rescues us from sin and from death. We pray that you would comfort us and sustain us through your mercy, that the power of the resurrected Lord may celebrate the victory that you have given us in our lives each and every day, that as we go from here, strengthened and encouraged by your power and grace, we may leave here knowing that you are forever with us in this world and the next. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.